it's sometimes a little different to be preaching 1 week in St. Cuthbert's and then coming back to Clayton, and yet we've been in Luke's Gospel all the time. We've the same passages we have in the morning services at St. Cuthbert's as we do here. And this morning we're looking at just a short passage here in Luke 12 where Jesus is again teaching. And, you know, sometimes we're not good at learning. We listen, but we don't learn. We don't take on board what is told to us. And when you have Jesus speaking to you in the Bible, his words are written down for us. He wants us not just to listen, but to fully embrace and put into practice what he says, because the truth will set you free. Just remember that. He came to set us free. Free from every bondage that would hinder us being anything less than what God desires us to be. But understand this, and the Bible is very clear about this. There are two kingdoms, and Jesus is emphasizing this in the teaching that he has recently in chapter 12. There are two kingdoms. There is a kingdom of this world. It is under the influence of the devil, a deceiver, a liar. It is corrupt, and it is heading for judgment. That is the only outcome of what will happen to a corrupt and sinful world. It will be judged by God. And just like Noah's time when wickedness was spreading, God spoke to his friend Noah, who had been walking with him, "You need to build an ark. You need to do certain things so that you'll be safe, you and your whole household." And Noah simply did exactly what God told him to do. In fact, I was listening to a message this last week from a dear missionary man who was preaching about Noah's faithfulness. And over 100 years, he just applied himself to do exactly what God told him to do. He said, you know, he didn't make the ark, you know, a little bit shorter because it was taking too long. He didn't make, oh, look, three decks is too much, why not two? He made it exactly as God told him to make it, over 100 years of faithfulness to God's instructions. And what happened to Noah and his family when the flood came? They were safe. They were absolutely safe. And God wants you and me to be safe. Remember, that is the reason Jesus came into this world. It was to save us. And Jesus, in these passages in Luke chapter 12, is telling people very clearly there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world, and I've come to bring the kingdom of God into this world, and he wants you and me to be part of that kingdom. But he's warned people. There are things that are going to happen that are going to stir you and are going to impact you, and there is fear that is going to impact you, and all sorts of things are going to happen. Remember verse 4 of chapter 12, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body." Well, that's a pretty fearful sort of thing to think about. But Jesus said, don't fear this. Don't fear someone who might kill your body. And after that, after they've done that, nothing more they can do. So there's something worse than having your body killed. That's what Jesus is saying. There's something worse than having your body killed. And he doesn't want you to end up in that state. Then in verse 8 of chapter 12, and I'm just leading up to the passage that we're looking at today. Jesus said, I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. If you are willing to acknowledge Jesus before others, the angels of God will be rejoicing and you will be remembered before them. I had a lovely little illustration of this week. I had a very busy week this week and I was exhausted. I spent time with my dear friend Ivan Barker in Cabrini Hospital doing an aged care assessment for him and helping him in that. And then I finished that and I went to pick up my wife, an officer, and I got a call on my phone. It was a number that I didn't have registered. And I thought, maybe it's the hospital ringing me. So I rang it back and said, it's Michael Jensen here. Oh, Michael Jensen. Thank you so much, Michael Jensen. Thank you for sharing Jesus with my husband. Who is this? It was my hairdresser's wife. She was so blessing me. And I needed that blessing at that particular moment because I was not feeling very encouraged. And I said to her, thank you so much for ringing and encouraging. We had a lovely time talking together. She was full of the Holy Spirit, this lady. Let me tell you, she was on fire for Jesus. She was wanting to share Jesus with everybody. But Jesus is saying, you know, I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. I think Jesus had acknowledged me before the angels of God and got Marcia to ring me. Thank you, Jesus. You see? But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And God doesn't want to deny us to deny him. Why? Because he wants us safe. He doesn't want to miss out. But you and I are tempted to deny him, aren't we? In our workplaces, in circumstances where people are doing things that grieve God, we're tempted to deny Jesus. Then in verse 20, Jesus says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you prepared, and this is the person who was pursuing the riches of this world. Jesus saying, you're foolish. If you're pursuing the riches of this world, you are foolish. There are riches way greater. We sang about them this morning. I'd rather have than. Okay. Well, you've got a choice of what to pursue. And Jesus is reminding us. Then a few weeks ago, he said, stay dressed for action. And keep your lamps burning. Remember I used the illustration of oiling the shield, which the Israelite soldiers had to do to keep the fiery arrows of the enemy from impacting them. And we have fiery arrows of Satan constantly coming at us. In fact, they are flooding the earth at the moment. Flooding the earth. The fiery darts of Satan, the evil one, is putting lies into people's heads, is saying all sorts of things that are false and untrue and causing people to be twisted and completely corrupted in the way they think. And we see that happening, manifesting itself as we listen to the news and we see people, you know, sort of accusing people of things and they're lying. It's just lies. And we need to be careful that we're not taking on board these false things. You know, I had another beautiful illustration of this on Friday. I was in, and this is very relevant for Mother's Day, in playgroup. I'm so glad I've joined playgroup as a team member. I love playgroup, let me tell you. Mums, tums and little ones, amen to that. I had two lovely illustrations. Perhaps I'll tell you the first one, the second one first. I'd been just playing with little children on the grass there at the front, and they weren't interested in balls very much on Friday, but I was trying to get them interested in balls. Then one little boy came up. He's done drink a little ball with me. And he stood there just looking at the ambulance across the road, talking to me about the ambulance and the people. Okay. Anyway, I thought, this is interesting. This boy's never taken any interest in Michael before, but anyway, here he is. And then it came to the story time. We went into the hall there, and I'm sitting there, and suddenly this little boy runs over to me, holds his arms up like this, and I go, what? He's never asked me to pick him up before. I put him in my lap, and he had such a lovely time. And I thought, oh, wow, what a message. Have you got time for people? Have you got time for each other? Are you willing just to be there so that people know that you love them? And this little boy just, he melted my heart actually as he jumped into my arms. Have you got time? What's the title of the message today? What is the time? What is the time? And I would say very much, have you got time? Well, the other story I wanted to tell you was a mum who came to playgroup. And there she was with her little boy, not quite 2 years old, and a Christian girl who found out about the playgroup and has come. And she was there and she was sort of a little bit nervous, and her little boy was clinging to her very much all the time, and she had a number of conversations with different people, and then she was sitting down at the end with her little boy Eli in her lap, and at the end of the time the Lord spoke to me. I was sitting next to her. The Lord said, you need to speak to this girl. You need to say something to her. I've got something to tell her. And I looked at her and I said, do you know, you are doing a wonderful job with your little boy. The reason he's clinging to you is because he feels safe in your arms. And in a world that is falling apart, this little boy needs to know he's safe. Well, this mum just broke down and wept. Why? Because she had been listening to the devil telling her she was doing a terrible job. She needed to be doing more. Her little boy needed to be growing up and becoming a five-year-old when he was only 18 months old. This little boy needed to be, doing all sorts of things. Have you heard that message, mums, before? You're not doing a good enough job. You see, your kids are not doing what they should be doing. What should they be doing? Clinging to their mums, let me tell you. Knowing that they're loved. There are many lies going into this world, and they're infiltrating the thoughts of people. And God wants us with our shields oiled. And we are living in very challenging days. Jesus did not tell us to light our lamps because it's going to be bright and shiny. He told us to put oil in our lamps because it's going to be dark. It's going to be hard to see. It's going to be easy to be deceived. He's told that in a number of places. He says there'll be many false prophets who will arise and lead many people astray. In the church, there will be false things presented. And remember, he said last week, do you think that I've come to bring peace on earth? This is Jesus. No, says Jesus. I tell you, but rather division. Separation. That's what Jesus has come to do. He's come to separate us. Why has he come to separate us? Because he knows the judgment of God is coming. He comes to separate us from sin, death, and judgment. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to save us from our sins, from death, and from judgment. And they're all of those three things are connected to the kingdom of this world. Sin, death, and judgment. They are coming. But, you know, like Pharaoh in Egypt or like Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, Satan wants you and me captive to his world. Because while we're captive to his world, we're serving his purposes. We are fulfilling his desires. And his desire is to deceive everyone. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you look to Jesus, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, today, Jesus says here in Luke 12, verse 54, when you see a cloud, or when you look at the Bureau of Meteorology website and observe a front coming from the southwest with lots of isobars close together, you know that a shower is coming. We make these predictions, don't we, mums? When you've got the washing on the line, you know, go to the BOM website. It's coming, right? We're going to take action, get the washing off the line. And so it happens. This is Jesus talking to his own generation, his own people. They're looking at physical things, signs of things, and they know what's going to happen. And so they take action. And then he says, and when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there'll be scorching heat. You know, when we're in the summertime and we go to our BOM website and we see the nice high-pressure systems and we watch them shift across the east and we see those northerly winds coming and right at the end it's going to be a hot day. Ooh, it's going to be a hot one. We interpret things that are presented to us by the world and we say, yeah, this is going to happen. Well, Jesus says this, you hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? It's somebody who says something and does something else. Or somebody who presents in a certain way but is not actually doing what they're presenting. He says, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The present time. How do you interpret the present time right now in this world? What is the time? And we've all got our watches and our phones. We want to check the time. It's 11:49. But what's the time? Do you know the time in God's timetable? Are you in tune with God, knowing what his timetable is? And what is the time right now? What is happening in this world that would indicate to you the timetable of God? Do you know, manifestly, this is Mother's Day, and I think probably one of the most profound things that is happening on earth and has been happening for, since the beginning of time, but in this age that we are living, manifestly everywhere across the world, is the false representation of what a man is and what a woman is. It's one of the most powerful things that is happening across the whole world. And it is driving at the moment an influence to impact women particularly, but it's certainly impacting men as well, but women in particular, to pursue a particular vision that God is going to judge severely. And he has shown throughout the history of the world to judge wherever this influence takes hold of a society. You'll notice back there, we read from 1 Kings 19, that there was a king called Ahab, and he married Jezebel. And Jezebel was the world-pursuing woman who wanted to rule. And she had Ahab in subjection to her and everybody else as well. In fact, in the story we read, Elijah gets fearful when he hears of Jezebel's stirring wrath against him. Wherever you have this influence in the life of women in the world, God brings a terrible judgment. Why does he do that? Because what I read at the start of this service, what is very precious in the eyes of God? I read it from 1 Peter chapter 3. A quiet and gentle spirit. A quiet and gentle spirit is very precious in the eyes of God. You see it in Mary, the mother of Jesus. You see it in Hannah, the mother of Samuel. You see it in Ruth and Naomi, who we're looking at in our evening services, most beautifully presented. And these individuals, because of their quiet, gentle spirit, find themselves caught up with the purposes of God. And if you look everywhere in the world at the moment, there is a powerful spiritual influence that is opposing what I've just told you is precious in the eyes of God. And it's described for you in the Bible. If you've got a Bible, I suggest you open with me at Revelation chapter 18. What is the time? Well, here we have the time, friends. Here we have the time. Revelation chapter 18, here is the time we are living in right now. John is on the island of Patmos. A preacher that I heard talking about him during the week said he was nearly 100 years old. He was an old man, isolated. He had lots of time. He had lots of time. Time to wait on God. Alex was sharing with us yesterday about how important it is to have time with God, to hear what is God saying. Well, here he was on the island of Patmos, and God spoke to him, and he wrote down these words because Jesus told him to write them down because they're going to be so important for you and me living in the days we're living. This is what God says in Revelation 18. We have this. After this, this is John speaking, I saw another angel coming down from heaven having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. Now notice, the angel comes down from heaven and the brightness of his glory illuminates the world in which John is living. But the world seems very bright. But it's not actually the light of God shining. And you'll see that in this passage, you see, because this angel says with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." And then Babylon the Great, she, oh, this is a feminine influence, she. She's become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird. The birds there are pictured as demonic forces. A haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. Now, Babylon does not look like that to the people of the world. It looks shiny and bright with the Crown Casino, with all the lights flashing, with all of the provision of outward appearances that appear to be seductive and attractive, but actually they're full of demonic forces. And unless an angel came and illuminated a heavenly influence, the people of the earth would not see what was really going on. But this is what's going on. And friends, this is happening in our very society. In this city of Melbourne over the last 20, 30, 40 years, these powerful forces have been releasing themselves into our community to destroy a quiet, gentle spirit and to lift up a completely different spirit, demonic forces, promoting sexual immorality. If you go to Chadston Shopping Centre, you need blinkers, friends, because every store you walk past virtually selling clothing is selling impurity. There are demonic powers at work. Are we alert to this? And they are actually destroying what is precious in the eyes of God. And you see here, this angel that comes down says, fallen is this influence. It's actually fallen. Where does the first fall come? Don't we talk about Genesis chapter 3 as the, what's it called? Oh, you're not very convincing. It's called the fall. See, it's called the fall, sin. And as a result of this fall, the judgment of God is going to come. Now, it grows so much so until we get to Genesis chapter 6 that the earth is influenced by sexual immorality so powerfully, and people are violently, you know, killing their jealous partners, had some relationship, they're killing each other. And God says, I've had enough. Noah, build an ark. And God has not changed. And Jesus said, before he returns, the earth will be as in the days of, nice and loud so everyone can hear, Noah. It will be as the days of Noah. People will be eating and drinking, giving in marriage and all the rest of it, and suddenly the judgment will come. Well, let's go on in this passage in Revelation 18. A haunt of every unclean spirit, every unclean bird, these detestable things. All nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. Now, I always tell couples who prepare for marriage, God wants you free of sexual immorality. Now, we're all weak. We fall down in different ways. And he has sent his son Jesus to die, to cleanse us from our sins, to purify our hearts so that we have a whole new beginning, washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where God wants you. Because if you drink the wine of this sexual immorality, it will destroy you. It doesn't look like it's destroying you, remember? It's the bright lights of the Crown Casino. It's the Chadston shopping centres. It doesn't look like it's going to destroy, but it will destroy you. It will kill you. It'll bring destruction into your life, into your family life, because this wine of impure passion, of sexual immorality, is very seductive. And Jesus came to set us free from this wickedness that defiles the human heart and corrupts the beauty of a quiet and gentle spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. And I know, having been married to my dear wife for nearly 40 years now, this is so important. men, we are the ones most vulnerable, although women are vulnerable too, but we are absolutely targeted by Satan to bring us down in sexual immorality, whether it's glancing at a woman and lusting after her in your heart. You need to keep your heart clean with the blood of Christ and remove these things, as it's going to say in this passage. Come out of her, my people, says God in this passage. Come out. Have nothing to do with this because the judgment of God will fall upon it. And as a husband does this and keeps his heart close to Jesus, he will be given words to speak to this beautiful woman that he's been given to keep her in a state that is precious to God. He will have those words to say to her when the devil is telling her, you're not very beautiful, you know, someone else is more beautiful or what. That's what Satan is doing all the time in this world, comparing you, you know. He's telling you, you're not beautiful. You need to, you know, do something. You don't need to do anything. Lovely lady, you don't need to do anything. You are beautiful. Well, husbands, you keep doing saying that to your wife. Remember who you married. Because the devil is active. We see him presenting himself all over the place and powerfully releasing his influence. Notice it goes on to say this. All nations have drunk the wine of this sexual immorality. Kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. Do you know one of the enormous blessings of our nation in Australia is only one thing. We have a prime minister who loves his wife and who's living with her. Speaks so highly of her. Pray for Scott Morrison that this spirit will not take him. Because God will bless our country if they live in that state before him. If you look across the world, you'll find it hard to find a simple man and woman in places of authority like our Prime Minister and his wife. The kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. The merchants, those who are making money, those who are selling and buying, the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. Do you know the sin of Sodom? Do you know what the sin of Sodom is? Read Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. It doesn't say it was homosexuality, although that was one of the sins. The sin of Sodom was pride, an abundance of food, and luxurious comfort. That is what God sees as the sin of Sodom. The merchants have grown rich. They are making big amounts of money. I hope you're not making big amounts of money. What's your investments and where they're located? And who's using the money that you have and where it's coming from. I know I saw someone looking up Ezekiel 16:49, so I better just check I've got the right text there, hadn't I? Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She had her daughters had pride, excessive food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. Did not help the weak. We are living in a dangerous country. I told the Sudanese when they came here. What did I say? Be careful. This is a dangerous country to live in. It'll steal your simplicity of walk with Jesus. It'll allure you over to pursue things that are corrupt and defiled. Be careful. It doesn't just go for the Sudanese. It goes for all of us. Then John says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Why does God say that to his own people? Come out of her. Depart from these things. Why does he say that? Because he's about to judge these evil things. And if you look through history, every empire, society that has pursued this course, of course, because the devil has always been active, has ended in a horrendous judgment. Even Jerusalem. At the time of Jesus, when Jesus was going into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he wept outside the city because he said, "Oh, if only you knew the time. If only you knew the time." This is how Josephus describes Jerusalem's judgment only 20-odd years later, maybe 30 years later than when Jesus spoke. "Through the roar of the flames streaming far and wide, the groans of the falling victims were heard. Such was the height of the hill and the magnitude of blazing pile that the entire city seemed to be ablaze, and the noise nothing more deafening and frightening could be imagined. There was war cries of the Roman legions as they swept onwards en masse, the yells of the rebels encircled by fire and sword, the panic of the people who cut off above fled into the arms of the enemy, and their shrieks as they met their fate." There was just such a horrendous judgment on Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed. It has never been rebuilt. Because they didn't know the time. When Jesus was calling people to repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And here in the book of Revelation, God is speaking, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues." Plagues, pestilences, pandemics. There are going to be more, not just coronavirus. The Bible is very clear in Revelation that one of the riders on the horses will release on the earth judgment of sicknesses and pestilences. It's going to happen because the Bible says so. But God says to his people, "Come out of her. Be separate from these sinful ways, because I don't want you to be judged. I want to keep you safe like Noah in the ark. Lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning." That is going to happen. "For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day." Verse 8. "Her plagues will come in a single day." God will judge. God is the judge. He is seated on the throne. Jesus has won the victory on the cross. He is high and lifted up. He is ruling over all things on earth. And when men deny him, reject him, spurn him, a judgment is coming. A judgment is coming. In fact, if God is not judge, we might as well go home. If God is not just and true and righteous, we might as well go home. For the God who sent his Son into this sin-corrupted and defiled world to save us from our sins knows that there is a judgment, and the judgment has already fallen on his Son. And this is the incredible love of Jesus Christ for you and me. He took the judgment on himself. If you will repent and turn away from your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. You will be kept safe by God himself. And Jesus is saying, You know how to read the BOM website. Why can't you interpret the present time and recognize what is actually happening in this world? I will tell you that unless you read the scriptures, unless you understand what God's word actually says, you will struggle to know the time. I heard a beautiful statement. Somebody said to this preacher, "Oh, I struggle to understand the book of Revelation." So the preacher said to him, "Well, it's the last book of the Bible. It's number 66. You need to understand 65 first before you get to number 66. So understand the first 65 books of the Bible and you'll be able to interpret the book of Revelation." I thought it was a beautiful answer. We need to know the whole counsel of God. And God has it in your hands. I trust if it's not in your hands, it's in your pocket. And it's there for you to read every day. And by the influence of God's Spirit, you see, my dear friend Len Pierce, I love him. He was a missionary in Yemen for many, many years. He's written this book recently, You All. Can you read the title for me? You Must Be Born Again. And he's really concluded that the whole problem with everybody is you must be born again. You need the Holy Spirit to live inside you. You can't understand what's going on in the world unless God himself lives in you. And with God in you and with his word open before you, you will know the time. You will know the time. You know, that beautiful picture that Peter gives us of a wife. I shared with this wife of my hairdresser who is on fire for God, and yet sometimes when you're on fire for God, you can lose sight of the vision of what it is you need to be doing. This beautiful picture. Listen to what Peter says here. "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, putting on of gold jewelry, or clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Now, this spirit, this gentle, precious, pure Holy Spirit, has the power to convert people without saying anything. How powerful is that? You'll never convert anybody by... It's easy to be tempted to do that. It's easy to find fault with people and everything else. But we need to be able to impart God's Spirit, his love. As I sat next to this young mum on Friday, I felt the overwhelming love of God for this young woman who was being harangued by Satan and his darts and his evil thoughts. "You're not good enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not a good mother. Look at your chin. You're not this. You're not that. You're not this." Have you ever heard that, you ladies? Oh, you all look as if you never heard it. Of course you've heard it, because that's exactly what Satan told Eve in the garden. That's how he tempted her to sin in the first place. He said to her, "Oh, but if you did this, you'd be like God." She was already like God. He deceived her. Friends, we are living in very deceitful days. The time is a time of a release of deceit over the earth. But we have a Saviour. His name is Jesus. He comes to call us to himself. Yes, to be born again of his Spirit, to feed on his word each day, so you'll know the time. And you'll be safe like Noah, building quietly your ark, doing exactly what Jesus tells you to do. And when the judgment comes, your house will be still standing on the rock. There are lots of people building on sand today. Even ones hearing God's word, but not putting it into practice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us each day to listen to you, to draw near to you, to read your word, to embrace the things that you say and to put them into practice. Help us, Lord, to confess our sins, for we know that sin corrupts our hearts, hinders our close fellowship with you. We pray that you'll purify us through the working of your Holy Spirit, that we will know the time, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.